You know, like the song says, it's important. You know what? The old sails may be torn, the side of the ship may be battered, but praise God, we just got to get her home one of these days. Is that right? Through God's grace and through His help, we're going to get in port one of these days. And that's what I'm looking for. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to talk about some survival tonight. I want to talk about survival. And I'm going to go over in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 3rd verse through the 9th verse. Survival supplies is what I want to talk about. I'll read scripture here in a minute. You know, as human beings, we need certain provision to survive in this life. Am I right? We need food. We need water. We need air. We need all those things. Am I right? We need that to survive. You know, we can live 40 days, about 40 days without food. We can live about 3 days without water. And we can live about 8 minutes without air. About, approximately. That's what they say, depending on the individual. You know what? In 1 Peter, though, in the first chapter, the 3rd through the 8th verse, Peter's encouraging us, is he not? He's trying to tell us that God has made provisions for us. Let me read it, then we'll get into the rest of the scripture here. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, you should want to praise God right there. Amen? Amen. And it said, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, we come again with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I want to praise you for this opportunity I have to stand behind this sacred desk this evening. I pray, Father, that you would use this message this evening to uplift hearts, to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord. I pray that this evening, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would supply us with all that we need to, Father, to make it through this life. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Amen. You know what? God can supply all of our needs. He can. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I believe that this evening. You know, not only does He supply our material needs, if you look over in Matthew 6:31 through 34, and it tells us over there, therefore take no thought saying what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or withal shall ye be clothed. For after these things doeth the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient, it tells us, is unto this day is the evil thereof. Brothers and sisters, you know what? God will provide for us on a daily basis. I believe He will supply our needs. Now, I've said this before, and I believe this. Now, if you're wanting a lot of stuff that you don't need, I'm not so sure He's going to supply all that. But I do believe this evening that He will supply your needs. And you know what? Praise God, there are times in our life He does supply our wants. Amen? He does do that also. But more importantly, I want you to understand something. God supplies everything we need to survive this life in a spiritual manner. He supplies every bit of it. Amen? He does it. I want you to look at four different things that God supplies in this scripture that I just read here tonight. I want you to look at it. Look at verse 3 again. And I said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, hope is the key theme here, brothers. Hope is where it's at. You know, you see Peter attempting to give them hope in spite of the circumstances that they were in. I want you to know something this evening. I tell you what, I cannot give you much of my own this evening. But I guarantee you tonight that I can give you a hope through Jesus Christ tonight that no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on in your life, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is there for you. He's there to take a hold of your hand and guide you through these things. Just like the song said, you know what? The sails may be torn. Everything may be going to pot. But praise God, there's one constant. If we keep our hand on our rudder, which is Jesus Christ, I want you to know we can guide us home one day. Paul was trying to give them hope. In this world that they lived in, there was hardly any hope for the Christians. You know, as far as their life was concerned, they were being persecuted. They were on every hand, the things were going on. And Peter was telling them, listen, there is a hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. I don't know that there's some of you here this evening that I believe in my heart that are going through something you don't know how you can survive and things that are trying your heart and your soul. But I want you to know, just like Peter said, you have a living hope tonight. And that is Jesus Christ. You have that. You know, so Peter applies the message to you. God has provided provisions for us. He has done that. You know what? To survive life's up and downs, to survive the trials and challenges that we go through, I want you to know something. God has supplied what we need to get through those things. Amen? First off, hope mentioned here in the New Testament is totally different than any way that we supply it in the English language today. All right? I'm having a cookout Saturday, and I hope it doesn't rain. You ever said that? Or I'm going fishing tomorrow, and I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope it doesn't do that. You know what? Our hope there is based on future events. It's something that we can't control. It's a future event. Whenever you see hope mentioned in the New Testament, especially in the Word of God, it means, I want you to mark it down, just like I'm standing in front of you tonight, it means assurance. It means something that stands right no matter if the world's on fire. Amen. I want you to know that hope is for sure. So with that in mind, let's look at this. When Peter describes this hope as a living hope, he knows exactly what he's talking about, right? Where was Peter whenever Jesus was resurrected? Remember what he did? He said he was going to go back fishing. Where did Jesus appear to him after he came out? Jesus appeared to him on the shore. Peter seen him face to face. Peter seen the empty tomb. So whenever he was saying that it was a lively hope, he was saying it was a living hope. It was Jesus Christ is what he was trying to say. And I want you to know something this evening. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, whenever I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, I found out, I believe this evening, that it was a living hope. Amen? I believe that tonight. I know that when I got up out of there, I knew there was no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ was living on my inside of my heart. I was a changed individual. You hear him talking about on television about being possessed by devils and being possessed. I'll tell you what, that when I got up out of there, I was possessed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I want to tell you what, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Praise God. You know what? A living hope. He knew exactly what it said. He knew it. He seen Jesus face to face. But you know what the Bible tells me? It tells me, blessed are we that have not seen but yet believe. Amen. We're more blessed because if we believe in the risen Savior, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we're more blessed than any of them that ever seen Him back in. Amen. Paul also tells us over in 1 Corinthians 15, 19-20, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruit of them that slept. Praise God. You know what? Jesus Christ, when He come up out of there, I'll tell you what, He'd give us that hope that one of these days, if they put me in the ground somewhere, that one of these days that old body's going to resurrect with my soul one of these days, and we're going to be in eternity forever, forevermore. I got a hope, brothers. I got a living hope. You see, the hope for eternal life rests in Jesus Christ. That's where it rests. It doesn't rest in anything else. It rests in Jesus Christ. A living hope for eternity in the form of His Son. God give it to us in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son. Amen? Amen. You know what? An elderly woman was in the hospital. This preacher was telling this story one time, and he went to see her. And she was pretty bad. She was pretty sick. And he went down to see her. And when he got in there, she had been crying. She'd had a bad day. She'd been crying. She was lonely. Not a whole lot of family. And she got to talk to him. She wasn't feeling, you know, of course she was sick. She wasn't feeling good. And she was just depressed and without hope. said when the preacher got in there, he got to talking to her about heaven. He got to talking to her about Jesus and all that stuff. He said before he knew it, you could see his, this here countenance. It just rose. Her face lit up. She started talking about heaven and she got a hope back in her. She got over that. I want you to know that when the troubles and trials of this life attack us down here, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to mention the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that those old gloom and the sorrow and stuff, they can't stay around anymore. Tell you, we mention the name of Jesus, it could tell you. But I'll tell you what, so many lose hope in this day and age. So many of them lose it. They don't have no hope in nothing. They don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And if they did know Him sometimes, they went back on Him, and they've lost all hope, it seems like. But I want you to know, He's still standing there with outstretched arms. He still loves you. He's still there. He's still alive. The God that I serve is still alive. The Jesus that I serve that lives within me is still alive. The Holy Spirit is still alive in me. And praise God, I want you to know this evening, there is hope as long as we trust in Jesus Christ. There is hope. Don't lose. Don't be despair. Don't do that when there's hope like that. Our God supplies that. I'll tell you something else our God supplies. I'll tell you, it's an invaluable inheritance. If you look at in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. I'll tell you a story about some inheritance I heard about. Now listen to this. Listen. There's a woman that she passed away. This happened. These are true stories. She passed away down in Tennessee, and she left her entire inheritance of $78,000 to three dogs. And she said, you take care of these three dogs until they're dead. He said, then the rest of it goes to a Baptist church down there somewhere. The dogs and the veterinarian said, well, the dogs are in pretty good health, so it'd probably be a long time before anything happens to them. $78,000 she gave to those dogs for an inheritance. And another inheritance story, a couple more I'll just tell you about here real fast. A woman in Philadelphia, when she died, the executive of her estate, she told him to take a dollar bill and invest it, and then take the interest and give it to her husband off that dollar bill. She said, that's what his worth is to my estate. I said, ouch. Another woman, she took an inheritance of a dollar and gave it to her husband and told him to go buy a rope and hang himself with it. These are all true stories. These are not something I made up. But listen, do you see what? These inheritance and this stuff that they have down here in this earth, I'll tell you what, it's nothing. Nothing. You can leave your family everything. You can leave them every dime you have. But I'll tell you something. One of these days, it may be all gone. But praise God, if we give them Jesus Christ and Jesus lives in their heart, their inheritance will not be corrupted. Amen? It will not be. But God has provided each and one of us an invaluable inheritance. He has. It's a matter of what any... It's nothing that you can lose. I mean, you can lose everything you have down here on this earth. You can lose riches. You can lose your family. You can lose your health. You can lose everything down here. But I want you to know, you still have an inheritance in heaven that you can't put a value on. You cannot do it. I'll tell you, I've told you this before, and I believe it. You could not buy your way into heaven if you wanted to. There's just no way. It'd be way beyond our comprehension of expense to buy something that is that precious. Just like the Israelites, I want you to know this. You know how they wandered in the desert for 40 years? You know what? Why did they do that? Because they had a promise that they were going to inherit the promised land one day. I want you to know something. I don't care what happens in your life, how long it takes you. Hang on to Jesus. Hang on to Him, because I want you to know you have an inheritance that you cannot put a value on. You cannot do it, and it's yours. I want you to, anybody that accepts the name of Jesus Christ, it is yours. You're sustained by that. We have a better, and I don't mean just better, and I said this here a while back, we have the best place we can go. You cannot compare it. It's not just better, it is the best place that we can be one of these days. Praise God. We have, if you look over in Revelations 21, and I love this scripture when we're talking about heaven. You know, Revelations 21, 1 through 5, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There's neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make things new. And he said, and said unto me, Write these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. I want you to know something. Does that sound like a place you'd want to go? Does it sound like a place to you that you would want to go? I want to tell you what, I want to be numbered there one of these days. I don't know about you. I want my inheritance. I want what's coming to me, amen? I want what's coming to me. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that's going to get what's coming to them one of these days, whether it's good or bad, whether, well, you know what? My Bible tells me that we will stand before the judgment seat of God one of these days. Everyone's going to give an account for what they do, whether it be good or bad, what you've done in this life, and I want to guarantee you, you will get what's coming to you. Amen. You will do that. And I'll tell you, I want what's coming. I want what God has for me up here. I want that. Tell me that that is not the best place ever. Peter tells us that it'll never perish. It'll never fail. It'll never spoil. No one can take it from us. I'll tell you, praise God. I don't care. You cannot take it from me. I can't take it from you. You may be able to give it up freely if you want to, but praise God, I want to hang on for all I've got. I want to hang on for all I've got. I'll tell you something else he supplies with in verse 7. Verse 7 of the scripture we just read there a little bit ago. And it tells us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory and the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, he supplies us with a precious faith. Amen? He supplies us with a faith. I want you to know something. When I got saved, I'll tell you, my faith was pretty weak at the moment that I got saved, other than the saving faith. But as the years have went by, I want you to know my faith has grown. My faith has grown to trust my God. My grace has grown to trust the Lord that I serve, because I know that He means me no harm in my life. He does not. If I trust Him, He means no harm. I guarantee it. Peter is telling you, our faith is more precious than that of gold. Way more precious than that of gold. We know how fire purifies gold. You know that. You've heard that story probably hundreds of times, how that whenever gold is put through, all the impurities are burned out of it. I want you to know, whenever we are put through the fiery trials that we go through, God is taking the impurities out of us if we let Him work in our lives. He's doing that for us. And you know what? I know this is a hard saying, but praise God, when we go through these things and we're going through them, we come on the other side, we should be praising Him and saying, God, I know what you're doing. I know you're bringing this for a reason. I know that I'm going to be a better person on the other side if I just hang on to your hand. He brings it out. Times of trialing and suffering strengthen our faith, do they not? They do that. Removing, you know what it does to us? It removes the pride out of our life. That's one of the things that it does. It removes that depending on ourselves. I'll tell you what, I'm bad about that sometimes. I don't know about you, but I'm bad about trying to depend on myself to do things and to take care of things. And I know that the moment that I'm starting down that path, I say to myself, man, you better back up, because you ain't doing nothing without God. And you're not doing nothing without Jesus going with you. And I'll tell you what, when we go through these trials, He forces us to move even closer to Him whenever we go through these trials. He draws close. You know, there was a soldier one time. This guy was over in Vietnam, and this is also a true story about this. And this guy was over in Vietnam, and they was in the heat of battle over there. And he went, and they had him pinned down. He was a Navy SEAL, what he was, and they had him pinned down. And he was he picked out one of these phosphorus grenades to throw it. And at the time he threw it, they shot him through the arm, and the grenade exploded right beside of his head. And he fell over into a creek. And while he's laying in a creek, while he's still conscious, half his face went floating down the creek beside him. Of course, they got him out of there. He lived. They got him out of there, and they took him to Saigon just as quick as they could get him there. They got him there, and they put him in a hospital room, and there was another guy in there that had pretty much as bad of a bad incident as he had. And he was laying in the hospital room, and he was married, and this other guy beside of him was married. And this other guy beside his wife made it to the hospital before this guy did. And when she came in, she looked at her husband and said, I cannot stomach this. And she laid her wedding ring down. And that guy had lived for quite a few months lived for quite a few months, and he was getting better. 2 days later, that guy died. So this other soldier was laying there thinking, my wife's coming. He said, oh, what am I going to do? He said, she's coming. His wife came into the room, and she went up to him, and she kissed him. And she said, honey, I don't know what's going on. I don't care. We're going to make her. We're going to make this. The guy ended up becoming a great preacher. He ended up being a testimony all across this land for what God's love and mercy can do. And I want you to know something. You don't think that the trying of his faith, you don't think that whenever he was going through this, he wasn't questioning God. Why? You know what? We don't know the why. We can always ask. God allows us to ask. But I'll tell you what, the other end of it, I want you to know, God is using these trials of fire against you to make you a better Christian, to make you a better individual. And I want you to know, one of these days, he may use you in a capacity that you'll never even know what you're going to be used for. And he's getting you ready. He removes all that stuff. Our faith can be strengthened through the trials. We can become closer to God. Peter describes faith by saying, he says to the thought, we don't see Christ. We don't have to see him face to face, but we can still believe him and we can still love him. Amen? We can do that. Amen. God supplies that. And I'll tell you the last thing God supplies, and it's over in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's inexpressible joy, folks. And that's another thing that God supplies. I just read all those three things above here, all the things that I said there above, I just read before. I'll tell you what, if we supply those things in our life, God gets those things in our life, and we grab a hold of them, I want you to know, we can have joy unspeakable. We can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whatever we do, I'll tell you what, God lets us do that. God can do that. Leads us to a joy that we can't express because we know God loves us. We know that. We know that. I'll tell you, there's nothing any better. I'll tell you, the moment that I got saved, and I tell this to people, and you heard this love, the moment I got saved, the love that overflowed my heart, the joy that flooded through me, I want you to know there was nothing like that ever that I've ever experienced in my life. I'll tell you, there's been times in your life, I'm sure there's been times when you've experienced. Have you ever been so happy that you couldn't stand it? Have you ever been that? Maybe when you got, or maybe on your wedding day, maybe when your child was born, and you were just so happy, so full of joy that you could, you know what, you couldn't hardly stand it. I want you to tell you something, folks. As Christian people, we should be walking around with a smile this big. People should come up to us. What in the world's the matter with that lunatic? What's the matter with him? Then you can say, you know what? I know Jesus. I know the Lord. I'll tell you, it's a joy that we should be flooding our soul. That is it. And it, you know, we can't even express it sometimes. That's why there may be times in our life that as Christians we should be that way. We should be that way. God has provided us with provisions necessary, folks. He provided us with provisions for surviving life. For surviving the real life out here we live, whether it be material, whether it be spiritual, God supplies those needs for our life. Amen? He does that. And I want you to know something this evening. Praise God. Just like old Peter said right there, I tell you, I am thankful and praise God for His saving power. And I'll tell you, if you're back here tonight and you don't know Him, if you're having trouble in your life and you don't understand what's going on, I want you to know something. This altar is open. It's open right here, right now. And I'll tell you what, if we have to stay here and pray with you till tomorrow, we'll do that. I can call off work. I don't know about anybody else. I can do that. I'll call off work. If we have to pray for somebody, I'll tell you, we'll do that. But I want you to know something. God's waiting here for you. He's waiting here for you. And He loves you. And I want you to know He can supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Amen.